Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always on Mondays, my good friend, Michele Ibarra. Michele, oh, what's up?
I'm scrolling stats and cleaning the glass because I'm amazed about this team. And I just like to see Isaiah Joe's number. Like, it's insane.
Isn't it
this
crazy?
Team is insane. Yeah.
It's just absolutely insane.
Yeah, I had a blast over the past three home games. I don't care about the two home games, sorry. Three games, one I was on the road. It happens that a team like Atlanta can come in hot and you don't play your best defense and you lose by a tiny, tiny amount. But to come back and have this kind of game against Cleveland, granted didn't have their star, but still, I mean, the defense was there and it wasn't there. Not for Shea, at least.
Right.
It's incredible how easy he makes it look. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter who's in front of him, yeah, there are players that can make it a little bit tough, but most nights it's just Shea being amazing and the team just rally behind him.
Dude, that game was on Friday night, one that kind of feels like forever ago. He just controlled so much of that game. He got in there, it felt like everybody else didn't really know what to do, didn't really know how to handle that Cavs team. And he got in there and he's like, no, I got this. And he just like found these little seams here and there. And I don't quite understand how he does it sometimes. Shout out to M. Webb, says we should call this the Oklahoma City Funder. Yeah, definitely. Super fun team. He's the only one that had it going in the first quarter. And he just kept them afloat until the Thunder started to figure stuff out. And credit to Mark for just trying a bunch of stuff and seeing what worked, for him to be brave enough. To be brave enough to try those small lineups against that Cavs team when it's like, okay, you could say to yourself as a coach, like, okay, they're playing two traditional bigs almost all the time. We at least need to have one in there all the time, you know? And they didn't do that. You know, they went with Kenrich at center and it was awesome. Like, that lineup was, again, ridiculous. And that's just something that I think that you can keep in your back pocket for this season, for next season. If you possibly play in a play-in game, like, that's probably should be the lineup that starts and plays a majority of the minutes together. Mm-hmm. They're just so much fun to watch, man. It all starts with Shea and just his incredible shot-making. And like Dean Wade just did not stand a chance, poor guy. Like, the minute that he came into the game,
we were searching for him.
And yeah, the minute that he came into the game and Shea saw him, he was like, okay, there it is. There's the weak spot.
Yeah.
Got him switched on, just attacked him, and then easy step back, mid range jumper, splash. Like, it's over. Like, sorry, Dean Wade. Yeah. It's over. Even Caris LeVert, like, super sucked in that game. He was really, really bad.
I like the qualifier in that game, but go on.
he has his moments. He's just so, what would make me just so frustrated as a Cavs fan about Caris LeVert is like, he was just so unnecessary. Like, it was just so unnecessary to acquire him, you know, to use any sort of anything to get him. I was just like, ugh. Like, you could have used that for like some, like, when, like Royce O'Neal. Like, Royce O'Neal could have been had for basically the same trade package. Mm-hmm. And like, Royce would be amazing. Like, he's kind of the guy they're missing there in Cleveland. But instead, they got Caris LeVert, who's like definitely a more talented player than Royce O'Neal. But it's like, it's not always all about talent. Like, it's sometimes it is about fit and like what you can do to fill in the gaps of the other players. And, you know, the Thunder are trying to figure out right now, like, how do we fill in the gaps around Shea? And
we use Aaron Wiggins. That is the answer. Oh my gosh. Almost every time. When Aaron Wiggins is not the answer, Isaiah Joe is.
Yeah, Aaron Wiggins is almost always the answer. 8-0 with Aaron Wiggins in the starting lineup. When they put that starting lineup out, where it was Wiggins, the two Jalen Williamses, no Dort. Dort's, I think Dort's going to be out again against the Warriors tonight. Giddy and Shea. But like, that lineup, I was like, this is very interesting. I was sitting next to Joe Masato, and I was just like, man, Joe, like, what are they going to... they're putting this to the test tonight because they're 7-0. It's like, okay. This is a tough one, even without Donovan Mitchell. Like, you knew that Mitchell wouldn't play going into it. And even still... like Garland and those two bigs, like that's enough. Like that's still a good team. And you just thought, man, like this is where you're going to blow it. So that was interesting to see them do that. And I asked Mark, like, after the game, I just said, you guys are 8-0 when you start Aaron Wiggins. Like, do you have any commentary? And he just gave me a sarcastic answer. He was like, yeah. Just means I'm going to start him forever for the rest of this, you know, decade. We're going to start him, you know, every single night and win every single game. No, he just kind of talked about how Wiggins is a winning player, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. I think there's just you can try to like figure out like that winning stat. Okay, like what does that mean? Like, honestly, it doesn't mean a whole lot. You look back at all the games and that they played. Sure, like things could have gone one way or the other, and it doesn't mean like Aaron Wiggins is much worse if they were like 6-2 you know, when he starts. But the fact remains that like he's just a winning player. Like, I think that's just full stop. I think he helps you win, and he fills in gaps. He shoots the ball well. He's a smart cutter off ball. There's just a lot to like, and our guy Al Baby Cakes had the... I need to find his tweet about the Wiggins agenda. Here it is.
Yeah,
the updated Wiggins agenda stats. So when Aaron Wiggins plays 0 minutes, when he doesn't play at all, DNP 3-8. When he plays 0 to 20 minutes, they're 9-12. When he plays 20+ minutes, they are 12-5. Pretty good.
Yeah, and you, a couple of minutes ago, you were saying, hey, Kenrich was against one of those bigs. And you tweeted about it during the night. I mean, Wiggins played against Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
And he played him quite well. Dude. This is not an easy task. I mean, Mobley had the three.
That's
going.
An understatement. That's an understatement of the year right there. This is not an
easy
task.
But let's downplaying it. Let's downplay it a little bit just to say, hey, it's not playing against Embiid or Giannis or it's not. Mobley is not an all-star, but the mismatch is there. He's taller. He's at least as strong as Wiggins, probably a bit more. And you have to hold him away from rebounds. It's not just holding him away from scoring baskets. Mm-hmm. It's also, hey, he cannot destroy us on the board. Yeah. You have to box out mm-hmm. every single second. And on the other side of the court, either you lure him away or you need to make yourself useful out there. You can't just play one end. And Wiggins does that. I mean, if you forget about him for a second, he's laying it up because he's doing a backdoor cut or something else. He's always at work. He will have bad games offensively. I mean, he played against Houston and he was not good. But overall, he's a guy that when the team needs some player that can do whatever is needed on defense and he's part in offense, he's there.
Yeah.
He's not the vocal leader that Kenrich is. Kenrich is starting to be really loud. You can tell that he is that guy.
Yeah.
But Wiggins is the silent leader. He does all the stuff. It's just a great find. And the way in which he finishes at the rim, it's not easy. It's not always easy finishes. It's like difficult ones.
Yeah.
So I think that he has even room to grow as an offensive weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just an interesting piece in all of this. And obviously the Thunder have their like core of players. And it's not difficult to find the core of players. It's Shea, Giddy, Dort, J-Dub, you know, of the guys that are currently playing. And then you can obviously add Chet to that. Like, those are the guys who have guaranteed minutes every single night that are going to play. Like, they're not going to DNP any of those guys. And then it's just like, then figuring out the rest of the guys. Okay, we feel really good about Kenrich. I think Kenrich is a guy that sticks around, he plays. And then it's like, who else? Like, you could make the argument that you feel like the most confident, not that he has the highest ceiling of any of these guys, but just the most confident in a guy like Aaron Wiggins just working because of the way he cuts off ball, because of the way he defends, because of the way he fits in offensively and doesn't have to take shots. You know, he's shooting 38% from three this year. It's on a low volume, but he's shooting well. He's shooting 50% from the field. He shoots 81% from the line. Like, there's just not a lot of holes in his game. You know, he passes the ball well. There's just a lot to like about him. You know, per 36, if they gave him that many, he's only taken 9 shots a game, so he's not like really low usage. But he's almost 13 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad. You know, you're gonna need somebody that's low usage on this team to just kind of soak up minutes off the bench. And I think that he could definitely be one of those guys.
Yeah. Quick trivia on the guy we were discussing before, Aaron Wiggins. Tell me from the top of your head the net rating of any lineup that had Kenrich Williams as a center.
Oh, gosh. Plus 13.
Nope. Try again.
Plus 17.
Close. Plus, not there.
Plus 19.
Exactly.
Wow.
400 possession. Not a huge sample size.
Not the smallest. Still. Could be smaller.
Could be smaller. It's a quarter of the possession that Shea played for the season. So it's not small.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this tells me something, that whenever you have players that can play a role, that are good enough shooters, and you have space, those lineups are going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see lineups with Chet, Kenrich, Dort, like playing incredible, and Wiggins, and I don't know, put anyone, and Shea, put that lineup at test. I mean, who's going to score on a lineup like that when you have a real rim protector, two, three guys that can really play punitive attack defense?
I don't know. Because the thing about this season, and we pointed this out and other people pointed this out too, but like Shea has really started to care about how he defends and has started to make a lot more of an impact. He had that play in the corner. I think it was Okoro. No.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Okoro in the corner?
No, it was Stevenson, I think.
Yes, Stevenson. They look the same. Stevenson was in the corner and shoots a 3 ball. He blocks it, saves it.
Yeah.
Before it goes out of bounds.
Or was it Okoro?
Dude, I don't know. I don't remember.
Anyway.
Lavar Stevens. I think that's who it was. Lamar Stevens. Oh my gosh. I've said his name wrong 500 times. Anyways, that block was so, it was just, it felt really significant, you know. It felt like a significant moment, and Shea's just like willing to play both ends, man. And that's a big deal. When your star is willing, and now he's going to have to be willing to do it when this team is making the playoffs and making like big pushes, but like setting the tone early on is a big deal, because it's usually kind of the other way around. Like Tatum, it took him a minute to get engaged defensively. Devin yeah. Booker at this stage of his career was completely disengaged as a defender and then has slowly gotten better. But if Shea can be engaged from the jump from here right away, one, it's going to set the tone with his teammates. Two, it's going to help the Thunder be, I mean, if Chet is anything like we think he's going to be, this could be a top five defense next year. You know?
Yeah, that's a bell pepper take. If Chet is who he is, I mean, come on, they're a top eight defense right now.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. That's why it's a bell
pepper. Isn't that just insane that they're, I mean, if, let's take a look at where their stats are today. Because, yeah, the fact that they're as high as they are in defensive rating on the season, eighth. The only teams that rank higher than them in defense, the Pelicans, the Sixers, the Heat, Celtics, Bucks, Grizzlies, Cavs. That's yeah. it.
And I bet you that by this, if, I mean, I don't have very good vibes about New Orleans being a great defense for the entire season. Mm-hmm. They're right there. They can be a top seven defense this season without Chet Holmgren and with a lot of players being on the improvement areas on defense as well. Giddy's yeah. starting to show something on defense. They
at times he had some rough moments in that Cavs game, I will say.
Yeah, he had. Yeah, but on both ends, it was just he had a few moments where he was yeah. No,
in the first half, he was like completely out of sorts.
Yeah,
we're just like, what's going on here? Like, I don't know if he was just like frustrated or like trying to figure out this Cavs team. I don't know what was going on, but like there was definitely like a moment where you're watching, and you're like, okay, where is he? Like, what's yeah. going on here?
There is also always the feeling with Key that his mistakes are loud. I mean, the same pass.
The turnovers were loud. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you that he makes the very similar pass and he completes it because his brain is processing the game with certain data. Then, yeah, that's not working against the Cavs. But like, that is working on his mind for 99% of the opponents, just not the Cavs.
Yeah.
And he's not adjusted, but he will adjust.
Yeah. He adjusted down the stretch. Like, he scored a ton of points for them down the stretch and really helped yeah. deliver that win for them. He played really well and played more physical defense as the game went along. It was just kind of strange, but he's still young and still, like, figuring stuff out. So it's like not like a warning sign or anything like that. It's just like something that I took note of and, you know,
sure.
would like to see more of him against opponents like this, you know, and see how he reacts.
But isn't it great to see a player that is still struggling at times? There are very, like, there is a lot of player like J-Dub. J-Dub is not there defensively.
Yeah.
But you can see moments where, oh, okay. That is J-Dub. That is a block on a floater. Mm-hmm. Nice. These are like two, three possessions where you can see, wow, that guy can do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they are eighth with this, like with all this, I mean, qualifiers. I'm saying, yeah, it's not
the youngest team in the league, man. The youngest team in the league is the eighth yeah. best.
And the thing that, one other thing that we already mentioned it, but I want to stress this,
mm-hmm.
and I will stress it for the entire episode and maybe more. Wade, the let's find Wade and just destroy him
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is stuff that you can see maybe in matchups where you say, okay, I really need to think about a way to exploit who they have on the court. because they don't want them to stretch the court at any moment. So let's trying to find their shooter slash awful defender and force the other team to make an adjustment. Mm-hmm. And they did. Like, they were composed enough to play to the game plan, and whoever had the ball and was guarded by Wade, it's let's go to the basket time.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yep.
So this is incredible for a team to have the composure to be patient, find the right matchup and then cook. Mm-hmm. Find the right matchup and then cook. It's not super duper easy. And again, they did it.
Yeah.
And it's year one of this team that plays to win, mm-hmm. and to develop. I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that they were playing Jang, who is clearly not functional to winning right now, and this is probably an understatement, they played him 10 minutes. They were awful in those minutes, and they still won the game quite easily. Like, it's a 12-point game. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like that they're going to get him developmental minutes, and it's going to take him time to kind of get back a little bit with Jang. Because I asked Mark about it post-game, and he's like, listen, it's not time to, like, evaluate how he's playing. Like, he needs some more time to figure it out, which I like the answer. Because it is like they're just so process-oriented, and they don't really care about the results quite as much. But, like, they say that, but then also, like, the minute that he saw it not working with that lineup, where it's like, okay, this is the lineup where you just kind of start drowning, you know? And, like, how long can you stay underwater before it just all goes away? And Jang got pulled pretty quick, and then Trey Mann got pulled pretty quick.
Oh, and then very quickly.
And then after those guys were gone, they went on a run. And so... And those guys need to be able to see the moments where it's like, hey, listen, you can't survive in this game against that team, the number one defense in the NBA, with multiple all-stars on the floor. Like, you're not ready for that. And, like, you showed me you're not ready for that. Now, go back in the lab, go back and practice, and then come back to the table and, like, play against the Warriors Monday. You'll get another chance against the Warriors. Let's see if you can play an extended stretch where I don't have to pull you. Because Mark will do that. He did that with J-Will. J-Will played really good against the Cavs, and he got mm-hmm. some extended run. He hit that three and, like, went berserk, and Mark had Muscala set to check in, and he told Muscala to go sit down. He said, let him rock. And he let him stay out there for a little bit, because he's playing with tremendous energy. He was making shots. He's rebounding. I think Jay Will has taken a step forward recently.
And for sure.
And is, like, playing competently. You know, he's not, like, some great player or anything, but, like, he's playing competently. And, like, that's what he needs to do. He needs to show that the rest of the season. And I think he's going to get a chance. I don't know how much longer Jeremiah is going to be out. But as long as he is, like, he's got to keep showing that, like, hey, like, I can play. Like, let me show you that I can play. Because if he can do that, like, it's pretty important, I think, to his career, especially with the Thunder, that he plays well right now. And he is, you know, and it's important to everybody, honestly, because this year and next year, I don't think there's going to be wholesale changes to the roster. I think there's going to be adding Chet and adding the pick from 23, whoever that is, wherever that is, if it's in the lottery or not in the lottery, like, who knows? We just don't know yet. And then I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot else going on. You know, like the Ringer today has, like, this Jakob Poeltl trade that's there. And it's just like...
What?
Like, don't... That's not going to be a thing. Like, I can sit here with extreme confidence, knowing that something like that's not going to happen. Like, it's divergent from the plan. Like, mm-hmm. and here's the thing, and this is why I think we need to, like, just take a step back from, like, any kind of trade. I don't care if it's for OG Anunoby or for Poeltl or for whoever else.
Can I question you
yeah.
right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Suppose that San Antonio says, okay, okay, Poldl, but that's, to me, that's not giving you a lot of assets. Say, guys like Johnson and Vassell, like, I know that they sound like core pieces, but if you want to, it's not out of the realm of possibility of saying, okay, let's get a few bites to the apple and trade them for other young players that we might believe on more than the team that is trading them, plus picks. Mm-hmm. Like, suppose this Antonio comes to you and say, okay, I give you Vassell for 2 picks and Trey Mann. Same contract control, just different player. Yeah. I'm not saying the San Antonio would do this, because I wouldn't.
I don't think personally. They will, and I don't think the Thunder are necessarily looking to do stuff like that either, to be honest.
Because of their lack of years before having to extend them?
I think that's a part of it. Also, I think it's safe to say that, like, they like all the guys throughout the roster, you know, like, and who wouldn't? Like, I like all the guys throughout the roster, and I think you need to give everybody a chance. And I think that, like, if something dumb happens and they're like, yeah, we'll take Trey Mann and your lottery protected 23 pick for Vassell, like, sure. But, like, there's just no way. Like, there's no way that San Antonio says yes to anything like that. So, like, barring something insane like that, they're not going and saying, like, oh, I mean, they just don't even have any clue what they need. It'd be like me going to the grocery store having no clue what we need in the refrigerator or in the pantry, and just, like, and not being able to talk to my wife, and then just going to the grocery store and just grabbing stuff and then coming home and be like, crap, like, we already have a ton of this stuff. Like, what are we doing? Like, the Thunder don't know what they have in the pantry. They don't know what's in the fridge yet. Like, they have to figure that out over the course of the rest of this season and all of next season before that they can even say, okay, we know what we have. We know what we don't have. You know? I mean, you think about the moves that they made before they, or what they had to do before they went and acquired Tyson. Well, they first tried to acquire Tyson Chandler and it didn't work out, and then they went and got Perk. So, like, they knew, one, that they were a good team before they made that acquisition. And then, two, they kept hitting their head against the same problem over and over again, right? It was, we don't have any bigs up front. We play with zero force in our front court. And it was like, you can call it the Jeff Green problem. You know, they had a Jeff Green problem. Jeff Green was a talented player, but they had a Jeff Green problem when playing in the West against the Spurs, against the Lakers, against the Grizzlies, against all those big teams. They couldn't beat those teams. Even Denver, like, Denver played big, and the Thunder couldn't beat Denver because they played so big. The Thunder haven't even had a chance to have those games yet to know, like, okay, we're hitting our head against this over and over again, and we can't get over this one thing. It's, we need a wing shooter, or we need this. You know, you can't go and acquire somebody yet because you don't know what you need. They have no clue what they need. They need to go out there and win. They've played well for a month and a half.
Yeah.
That's how long that they've been good. That's not enough time to know what you need and what you don't need. They need to get out there on the court next year with Chet. And then that's when you start to figure out. If they become a really good team next year and they have a team where they win 48 games next year and they find out that along the way, hey, these are the teams that we can't beat. This is the way, these are the games that we can't win. Then, great. Maybe in the summer you can address some one of those needs with a younger player that can grow with this team. Awesome. Until then, it just is nonsensical to try to fill in the gaps of something you don't even know that you might. Like, Jang could develop rapidly over the summer and come back and be great. You give J-Dub an entire summer to just work on his game? Like, what does he look like when he comes back? Like, what if what if all your possessions as an offensive team are soaked up now that you have him, Giddey, Shea, and Chet? And you're like, you know what? That's like our offensive core. Like, now we just need role players. And then, like, Jang, or who we pick in 23, or talked about Wiggins. What if Wiggins gets a lot better? Like, we just don't know. What if Trey Mann figures it out? What if over the summer, Trey Mann just figures it out and is able to get a step-back jumper going, his spot-up threes falling, he is, you know, playing at least, like, with effort on defense, and he comes back in his third year. And a lot of people would point to, like, the third year is when a lot of guys do figure it out. Yeah. And so giving up on a guy in their second year is just not wise. I mean, look at Josh Green for the Mavs. You could have easily told the Mavs, like, hey, you know what? You should just give up on that dude. He is a lost cause. He stinks. He was horrible in year two. Like, just straight up bad. And then he came back in his third year, and Josh Green, by golly, Josh Green figured it out. Josh Green is now, like, a really valuable player to now, like, he's not playing right now because he's injured, but when he comes, like, people are like, I'll just wait for Josh Green to come back. Like, they'll play a little better, you know? Like, he's a guy on their team now. And so, like, I'm not ready to write off anybody or to say, like, somebody is this or somebody's that. Like, I have no clue. I just have no clue at all. We got Billy Martin in the chat right here. My guy, guitarist from Good Charlotte, in the chat. All he wants is, he just wants Trey Mann to figure it out, too. We got to give Trey a chance.
Like, Me too.
Trey has not looked good. There's no doubt about that. But to say that Trey is done is just, it's just foolish. And to, like, give up on him now to go get somebody else that can help you win this year, get us to the plan. Like, no, like, that's a deviation from the plan. And, like, I'll just ask you a question. Like, do you think that Sam Presti is the type of guy that's going to deviate from a plan that he has put in place because a team has played well for a month and a half? Like, we just have to, like, really think about that.
Absolutely no. But I want to say something about you, the proposition to wait until you know which teams you can't beat.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I fully support this. Mm-hmm. Meaning, yes, you need to know where are your deficiencies.
Yeah.
But you also need to be mindful about what is that can make you great, which is not the same. I mean, in hindsight, would you redo the perk trade, or would you just say, okay, Serge, you play center. I don't care. You take the beat up. We trade Jeff Green away for another wing that can play defense instead of perk. Because what makes you great is having space around Russ, KD, and Harden. Mm-hmm. And this is the way in which you could maximize your talent, not just matching up with Bynum or whoever, or Pau Gasol or guys like that. So if you find a player out there that next year increase what is your concept of basketball, I don't know who that player is, to be honest with you. Vassell was just a name to say, hey, a guy on a rookie scale deal that is not on a max level tier that can help you. And that maybe a team doesn't really want to pay because it doesn't match whatever they are trying to do. Vassell is not the San Antonio star. This is why I mentioned Vassell. Not to.
I don't think that I just don't think they would trade him.
Me neither, because they would be foolish, but you know.
Yeah. The problem is, like, finding that guy, and this is where I would just say, like, to anybody, not just to you, Mikel, is, like, find me that guy. Because, like, we can talk conceptually about, like, a young player that fits the Thunder, that's gettable, that has a high ceiling. It's like, man, like, those guys just don't exist. Like, the guy, like, let's look at the 2020 draft. Like,
I would try to lure away myself with two picks, to be honest with you.
I just don't know that
if it doesn't work.
I just don't know that San Antonio would even do that, though. I just don't know.
They're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, because then it's like, okay, who else from that draft? Like Pat Williams from the Bulls. Like, I just don't think the Bulls are ready to get rid of Pat Williams. He would fit fine here.
Yeah.
You want Denny Avdia? I don't want Denny.
No, no, why are you? No,
I'm just throwing out names, man. Like,
no, I don't like him.
Throwing out gettable names here, man. You're giving up multiple picks for Sadiq Bey.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Multiple
I'm just,
picks like, I'm, for a guy that is a traffic cone? No.
He's a traffic cone that scored 50 points in a game.
I don't need a guy that needs to score. I need a guy that can make decisions.
Jaden McDaniels? Take threes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, like, that's, and like, those are like all the guys from that draft. I don't know, like, we're not going down the James Wiseman route. We know we're not. And then you have to go like go to the 19 draft. Okay, who's there? Like, Jarrett Culver's already like cooked. He's already toasted, roasted, gone.
No.
Then it's like Rui just got dealt. Cam Reddish, like no. Like don't
no.
If you ever type the name Cam Reddish in my @ on Twitter ever again, like I'm just gonna lose my mind. PJ Washington is somebody that people have shown interest in.
No.
Yeah,
I'm inconsequential.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out on that too. Like, there's just not, like, that player, like, theoretically just doesn't really exist.
So you don't like Vassell. Okay.
I like Vassell. Why in the world would the Spurs want to give up on Vassell already?
I don't know.
I mean,
to accumulate more assets and be bad.
I honestly think the Thunder are still closer to asset acquisition mode than they are going to get a player mode.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if they go and get another pick. Don't be surprised. If that's
so that maybe they can offer a three this summer and get to sell. I like it.
They have three now. They don't need to get one more so they can get the sell. Hey,
but they would give up one less if they can get one more.
I would just say that I think asset acquisition is still where they should be because like they're still the youngest team in the league. They still don't know what they have and they don't know what they need. Like that's like just if you just like break it all down, like that's where they are. And just like the coolest part of all of that is that they're actually like good and you're in this place, which is just it doesn't guarantee you anything, but it's certainly like underneath the surface, like there's something just kind of percolating. Okay, we need to take a quick break. Right on the other side of this break, we're going to talk more Thunder basketball. We'll be right back.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back after that quick break. Michele, I'm looking at the injury report for tonight's game against the Golden State Warriors in Oklahoma City. It's an icy day in OKC. I had to took my kids to school this morning. Dropped them off, went to the gym, and then got a text from the school that they were canceling school. And I had to go pick them right up, right after that. So it's been a weird day in Oklahoma City. For the Thunder, Lu Dort is out. Eugene is on a two-way assignment. So is Lindy. And Jeremiah is still out with possibly the worst right ankle sprain in the history of the NBA.
How many weeks? It's 5 weeks already?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm going to ask tonight if there's any updates on him, because it's like this is a long time to have no Jeremiah Robinson Earl. But anyways, significantly no Dort tonight against the Warriors. Andre Iguodala is out for the Warriors. Everybody else is playing. So like that's great news for Thunder fans who are going to go down to the game tonight and get to see Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, JP, Draymond. Hopefully we get to see some antics tonight between Draymond and Kenny Hustle or somebody else. And maybe we get to see a little James Wiseman action here in OKC. So should be a fun game. But the Thunder have surpassed their preseason total, which was supposed to be 23 games. There are 24. They're also currently, they have won the same amount of games that they did last year, which was 24, and they will easily surpass that even if they do not win tonight. This would actually be a really big one for the Thunder. They have some easy games upcoming, but like if the Thunder could get this game, which is not impossible, the Warriors are 6-18 on the road so far this season, really bad.
So yeah, they have to start winning. So it's not an easy one tonight.
No, like there's pressure, certainly. Yeah. There's pressure on the Warriors to get a win in OKC. So I'm very intrigued to see this one, because the Thunder have started to taste a little bit of winning, and they like it, and they want more of it. And the Warriors know how to win and have known how to win for a long, long time. And so I'm just extremely curious if the Thunder can pull this one out tonight in OKC.
Yeah, it's not easy to have a good defense against the Warriors, especially without Lu Dort. I mean, he's not the greatest off-ball player,
right?
But he's a guy that can really guard a point of attack, that can be physical with Raymond when he's screening, and it will be tough against him. I mean, Steph Curry is still, I mean, insanely difficult to defend, and not having, I mean, it's not dissimilar conceptually as Garland, even if he plays a lot more. Curry plays a lot more off ball than Garland.
Yeah.
I mean, it's again, it will be a test to see what this defense can do without Lu Dort. Offensively, I think that OKC can create problems, because they will need to have like a strong game against J-Dub and Giddy and Shea, because I mean, the Warriors don't have so many tall defenders that can keep all these guys away from the paint.
Yeah.
They can do it to a certain degree, but if you lure them out with a guy like Muscala or stuff like that, then it's a bit tougher. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see who is going to guard Shea. It's probably going to be Clay.
I think it's going to be Clay, yeah, to start with.
I know that you said it already, but is Wiggins playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe also Andrew Wiggins.
Some of Wiggins. A little bit. Yeah, for sure. We have the Andrew Aaron Wiggins non-brother matchup tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, DiVincenzo has been pretty good too. Like he'll get a chance as well.
Yeah, but he's not
He's a little bit more Dean Wade than he is a stopper.
No, he can be okay. He can be. He's not the guy that you necessarily want to drive at every single possession. But he's not a Shea stopper. I don't envision him.
There's not a Shea stopper on this team. Not anymore. Like, Clay's not that guy anymore. Wiggins has not been that guy this year. Wiggins has not had the best season this year.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I don't know. It's a very intriguing matchup. On paper, this is a better team, you know.
Yeah.
And I just got news that the Warriors have recalled Patrick Baldwin Jr. and Moses Moody from the G League. Maybe we'll get to see Moses Moody sitting on the bench for the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking about Baldwin a couple of days ago for no reason.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sicko.
No, I was thinking about draft prospects that were okay shooters or on paper okay shooters, but
yeah,
never made it.
Yeah. PBJ just is, he's a traffic cone. He's not going to play on this team. He needs to be on a bad team to really see what he is. That's the problem, is like their developmental story, like their big one since they've been good is Jordan Poole. And Poole had a chance to play on a bad team. And like, that's the biggest difference between all the rest of these guys. Because he had a chance to play on a team that was putrid and got to spread his wings a little bit and got to figure it out, you know, in that one season. He played 51 games and had a chance to just like go out there and get buckets. And he came back and got a lot better. And now, like, there's been some growing pains. He still had a good season, but there's been some growing pains with Poole. And some of that, like, stuff that you saw in year one and in year two is like started to rear its ugly head here with them. But like, he's still one of their success stories. And you look at a guy like Kuminga and Moody and Wiseman and PBJ, even like Ryan Rollins to a degree, like all those guys, it's like, hey, great. You have to fit in now because we have to win right now. And if you don't fit in, you won't play because we'll go find anybody else. We will play Anthony Lamb 20 minutes a game because we don't believe that you can help us. We'll play Ty Jerome 20 minutes a game because Moses Moody, you're not ready to help us yet. You know, it's just interesting. I think it's just hard. It's hard to make it in the NBA without actually getting to play games and getting to play minutes. And like, that's also why it's important for the Thunder to take this slower for a guy like Usman Jang. Like, Jang's not going to just figure it out playing with the Blue and playing in practice. Like, he's got to play in games. You got to play him in NBA games for him to figure it out. And it's going to be harder. It's going to get harder and harder to find minutes for him as his team continues to get better and better. You know, like, it's hard to develop guys on a good team.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why, I mean, to me, is a huge credit to the coaching staff to be able to play Jang 10, 15 on a game like the one that we saw on Friday.
Yeah, and you still win. Yeah.
Yeah, you still won the game. You gave him good minutes, not at the end of the game because he didn't serve that, and you still want to win the game. But still, I think that it's important for him to get touches with Shea because he's getting minutes with Shea.
Yeah.
So it's important. And they will do it this way. They will not sacrifice completely developing guys like this for just to get an extra win.
Yeah.
They will try to win with the guys that they have, but with a very savvy eye to the development of these guys. I want to just to address one question because it's very interesting to me. As OKC, as Jason Stewart asking if OKC offensive structure is helping J-Dub's development or not. Sure, having more touches is helping anyone's development. It's helping Isaiah Joe as much as he's helping J-Dub. But I think that it's a little bit more on the opposite side. Like, is J-Dub's skills that mesh really well with what OKC wants to do. J-Dub is, when J-Dub is rolling, this is what can make OKC make a leap offensively. It's the same as Giddy. Like, yes, of course, the fact that he has the ball in his hands is clearly helping. But he is part of the reason, part of the construction. And since it's part of the construction, it's clearly it's a two-way street. It is what I want to say. And the same it's for Isaiah Joe. Like, is OKC helping Isaiah Joe? Sure.
Definitely.
Is Isaiah Joe helping OKC in terms of playing style, spacing, and I think it's, again, it's putting players in the best position to succeed, but also taking players that are in line with what you want to put on the court. So in this sense, I think it's mutual. It's more mutual than the Paul George trade.
Counting stats doesn't necessarily equal success.
No.
And so, like, we have to realize that within all of this. Is like, could J-Dub be putting up like better stats if he was like the point guard for the Wizards? Definitely. But are you getting like the best outcome of him if that's what he is? Like, I don't know. Like, the Thunder are definitely putting him in a ton of different positions, teaching him how to play, teaching him how to play correctly with this group. And he's doing it, and he's doing it very well. And he had nights where he pops like he did against the Cavs. Like, he was very, very good against the Cavs. He was very, very good against Atlanta. He's starting to figure some things out here and there where he gets a little bit better in these different areas. Like, I think he's becoming a better player. I think he's a lot better player than he was when he started the season. Could he just roll the ball out and just, like, play with the Rockets and, like, be their point guard next to Jalen Green and look a lot better as far as, like, counting stats go? Maybe. Maybe so. Maybe the stats look better if he's somewhere else. But, like, we can't equate that to, like, being better. Like, there's a lot of guys that put up stats that stink in the NBA. Like, there's a lot of guys that can go do that, especially on bad teams. So, like, we just have to be careful with equating that. Michele, I know you got to go, but thanks for joining us today on Monday. As always, it's always fun to have you. I had somebody, I'm doing a Reddit AMA on Wednesday, so if you want to participate in that, do that. But somebody already asked an early question. They just asked if you could be on every single episode. And so... what they want, and then somebody was like, "Yeah, let's."
You would be bored.
No,
by the end of the first week. So
no,
let's stick to Mondays.
Not true. We won't kick the other guys off, but you know we like Mondays with Michele. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys have a great Monday. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.